I got a big day tomorrow. But you guys have a great time.
A big day? Doing what?
Well, actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're gonna go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring, stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath and Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. How are ya? I'm tired. I'm very sleepy. It's been a rough few weeks. We had some big technical difficulties with this show here.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. Adam Howell's joining me today, my good buddy.
Woo!
So last 2 weeks ago, Jonas Presendu came by. He's a comic in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And I used this app, Voice Record, that just comes on the iPad. Well, you download it from the store, but that's what I use to record. Fantastic application.
Oh, all right.
You can upload it to YouTube. It converts audio for you completely free.
That's awesome.
And what I liked about it as well is I could record my intro so my guest wouldn't have to listen to me yammer for 15 minutes before they come on. And it was great because you could pause it for 30 seconds, or you could even let it go for a days sometimes.
Awesome.
And you could just jump right back into it. For whatever reason, now it went normally. Like, I recorded the intro, pushed pause, pressed record again, and it looked like it was going fine. But the audio stopped where I paused initially.
Weird.
And I figured, yeah, that's weird. So I got rid of the app. And then poor Jonas, too. And not only that, he got towed.
What?
He parked on the side here of the building. That's a big no-no.
I hate parking down here.
It's ridiculous. I know. It's only going to get worse, too, because now it's going to be permit parking.
Really?
Yeah, you get one guest pass.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's going to be permit parking now. But poor Jonas got towed, and then I had an old file from a show that I recorded when drunk with Nina Ramdet, and James Bailey sat in on that. So I kind of just played that one, did an intro and recorded that one, so I was fine for that week. Last week, Kevin and Victoria, some more comics in the area, came by.
Oh,
same
nice.
Thing happened.
Really?
Same thing. So I got rid of the app, re-downloaded it, figured that would fix it.
No?
Still doing the same stuff.
Well, who knew that an app from the Apple Store would fail you? I would have never guessed.
Oh,
that.
You're an Android guy, I forgot.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I don't like Apple. You know, everyone in my office uses Apple, everything.
Yeah.
And it just seems like they have the most problems because when their Apple breaks, they have to go buy more Apple. I mean, it's brilliant on the part of Apple.
My phone's getting ready to kaputs.
Take a poop.
Yeah. It's got this touchscreen disease. I don't know if you're familiar with it or heard about it.
Is it lag when you're jumping?
Well, sometimes it just stops working, the touchpad, entirely.
Really?
So I have to do a hard restart, and I hear it's only going to get worse. So I usually have to hard restart like 3 or 4 times
during
the day.
It'll get worse until you buy a new iPhone. Then,
right.
Then it'll get better.
That's what I'm worried about.
That's how it works.
Yeah, and I'm fighting with my dad right now, so I can't even...
Oh, no.
Did I tell you about this?
No.
My freaking dad, man. So I don't make a lot of money, as everybody knows. So I was like, look, dude, this is probably last year. I'm like, can you help me out? And I know to add a line is way cheaper than to have your own account.
Oh, infinitely. So sometimes $10 a month extra.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, add a line, and then I'll just pay you. And he was like, all right, that's cool. Yeah, let's do that. So I was like, awesome, thank you. And we went and did that. And then I was like, all right, well, just let me know how much it is. And he goes, you know what, man? I haven't done anything for you your whole life. I know you're working hard. I got it.
What?
And I was like, whoa, dude, thank you. That's terrific. So then a few months later, he goes, hey, weren't you supposed to be paying for your phone line? I'm like, yeah. That's what I said. You just tell me how much it is. You told me not to worry about it because you were going to take care of it. And he goes, oh, yeah, I did say that, didn't I? I'm like, yeah. So then nothing came up. So then I message him and I go, this was probably, geez, 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago. I haven't spoken to him since.
Oh, nice.
And he goes, I said, listen, my phone has this thing. I sent him a link about the article, about the thing. Yeah. Can you ask Verizon when I'm available for an upgrade? Just so I know how much time I got.
Never.
And he goes, so he doesn't get back to me for hours, for 5 or 6 hours. And then he goes, yeah, that's a real, now I'm saying this in a condescending tone, but that's how I read it. Yeah, that's a real shame about your phone. And, you know, by the way, you're going to have to start paying for your phone because I can't afford. And I was like, dude, how much? I told you this 3 times. We went over this. And he's just like, oh, and then he goes, you're too old to have daddy paying for your phone.
Are you serious?
And I was like,
that's infuriating.
D-face, tell me how much it is. And all right, you know, don't get your panties up in a wad.
I don't understand.
And I'm just like, dude, just tell me how much it is. Yeah, all right, I'll let you know. And never, nothing. Haven't talked to him since. Nothing, maybe so, yeah.
Yeah, my dad did the same thing to me when he paid for my lawyer. I was about to say my first lawyer, my only lawyer. He paid for me to, you know, get into this pretrial intervention, PTI. And it was $5,000 my dad put down for an attorney. And that $5,000, all the guy did was walk up and hand the judge a piece of paper and go, my client would like PTI. Thank you, Your Honor. Yep. It's like, well, that's $5,000 well spent. But right afterwards, my dad, I was like, Dad, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to pay you back for this. He's like, you know what? I wasn't always there for you. I wasn't always the best dad.
Is it familiar?
You know, don't even worry about it. You know, I mean, I'm actually kind of proud of you, you ruffian, and ruffled my hair and sent me on my way. And then, like 2 weeks later, he was like, well, I can't pay my mortgage, so I'm calling in my debts. I'm like, Dad, you said I could just, this was my lawyer, this is my mulligan. This is the only thing. You didn't pay for college.
Right.
You spent my college money on ball buddies, Dad.
Ball buddies. I forgot about
ball
this.
Ball buddies.
Adam's father had a great idea for a hitch cover on the trucks, and it's just some goofy rubber thing that goes over your truck hitch. Ball buddies. He sunk, what, $10,000?
Oh, no. $10,000 was what was left of his money. And because he couldn't sell ball buddies to anybody, he paid $10,000 to have them, what little ball buddies
destroyed?
He had. No, he paid $10,000 to have them housed in a warehouse in a trailer park lot, which I thought was a fantastic investment for his money.
How many did he make? He must have made, what, like 100,000 of them?
Yeah, thousands.
Start out
and
with 100. And then see how it goes.
I just wanted to be there at the pitch meetings when he went to like UF. And he actually got meetings at USF and UF and went in there and pitched his idea. He had this little guitar and he had a football. And he walks in and he goes to the meeting, comes back. And I'm like, Dad, how'd it go? I'm like, did you sell a million ball buddies? He's like, apparently I'm 20 years too late.
Somebody already had the idea?
Yeah. He's like, they don't think it's a good investment because they think it's been done. He's like, show me. And like, as I'm driving, there's I see somebody cut a tennis ball in half and just put it on there. I was like, well, you can get a whole tube of tennis balls for like a nickel. And I'm sorry. I was like, it probably.
Yeah, but they're not in guitar shape.
No, they're not. They're not.
I got another great idea. They're balls fill your truck. Yeah.
That would hang down. And when you drove, they would swing.
Again, 20 years too late. God damn it. Ah,
yeah, pretty much. He was like, well, just chalk that up to another swing and a miss for the Howells. I was like, yep. Hey, by the way, I kind of want to go back to school because I didn't. Do you have any change? Nope. I spent the last of it putting him in a warehouse on a trailer park.
I had to burn all these ball buddies and just throw them in a furnace. It cost me $10,000 to get rid of them.
The EPA is on me right now because apparently I ripped a new hole in the ozone. He bought it all from China and was just he didn't know what. He's like, I'm pretty sure it's plastic. I'm like, you're pretty sure it's plastic? I was like, you just ordered. How do you even go about that?
I don't know. Your dad probably knows a guy, though.
Maybe.
Your dad's one of those guys that knows guys.
He did go to prison.
He knows a China wholesaler. Yeah, somewhere.
My dad went to prison and met one of his best friends, his lifelong friends there. He calls him his godfather, Godfather Tony. And I don't know what their relationship was in prison, but I do know that Tony was in for stealing original Elvis Presley master recordings.
Of course he was. What else would he be in?
When I found that out, I was like, how do you even meet somebody like that?
What are you going to do with that? What can you do with it?
I don't know.
You can't sell it.
Sell it at one of those silent auctions where, you know, there's like blood on the pedestal from the underage girl they bit on not but hours before. Like, that's the only place I can imagine you could sell something like that.
Yeah.
Is without anybody's knowledge. But apparently he got busted by the FBI.
Jeez, Uncle Tony, classic.
You see, Dennis, what I do is I put on this janitor outfit and I go into the recording studio and I just slip him into my mop cart and then I roll on. It's perfect. What could go wrong? You're a 1,000-pound sweaty Italian man who looks like he's going to rob people in any given moment.
You look like a guy that might steal master tapes.
That's the only thing. And the FBI, he had to wear like an ankle monitor. He's not allowed to leave the country. He's like serious. He makes all of his money by selling fake jewelry on eBay.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. At least he's making a living.
Yeah.
Not sucking off the government teat.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started.
I know. We shouldn't get you started. It's been just a rough week for me.
Really?
I'm running ragged. Three jobs.
Busy man.
The podcast has been a disaster the past few weeks. Steve Miller was supposed to be on today. He had to cancel last minute.
And
I knew he was going to cancel. He was supposed to be...
You have a sixth sense about the sort of things.
I know. I just know.
You're literally irritated and mad before anybody's...
Before anything happens.
Before the excuse comes out.
Yes.
It's true.
And I knew this was going to happen, but I was holding out for hope. And sure enough, at 1 p.m. I mean, look, I get it. Sometimes circumstances happen. You can't make it. And Steve's a good guy. I'm sure he'll be in here at some point.
Especially
in
after this. I mean, he's probably horribly embarrassed.
Well, he did Calta's show this morning.
Oh, he
did? So he was up probably at 4 in the morning.
Oh.
And just didn't... I think he lives in Tampa. I get it. You don't want to drive all the way down.
Oh, yeah, he's forgiven.
Yeah.
Don't worry Steve's about showing up ever.
Yeah, because he was supposed to do... there's a young man, Ryan Hoppy, who I work with at the station...
Mm.
Who's does a podcast as well, and he's on air sometimes. He's a big doofy guy, but God love him, I love him to death. So he did his Hoppy Holidays show last night.
Nice.
Down at Law Smith's Toco Works building.
I
knew it was going to be a catastrophe. So Steve was supposed to be there. He canceled on that. It's Cam Bertrand. These are all comics. John Jacobs, David Weingarten, Zach Townsend, Ryan and me. And I'm like, I'm not even going to talk on this thing. There's really no point.
That's a lot of ego in one room to get in a word edgewise.
Way too many.
And so many liberal egos at that. I'm sorry. I don't know how you... I mean, by the way, congratulations on all this, everything you've done with The Bone and your jobs. I mean, that's
very exciting.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So what do you wipe crumbs off Mike Calta in the studio now? Or what
I'd give him a little brush down every now and again.
Like, you got to start at the bottom, right?
Yeah, well, not really. I mean, it's promotion. So basically, I don't even see those guys that often.
Yeah, but you're a part of the team.
Yeah, part of the promotions team. So we go set up events and hang out and hand out stuff.
That's cool.
I got so many stories to tell you from that. But it's mostly that, and then I'm pretty sure my girl's done with me at this point.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Well, what happened? It was so magical the other night.
I haven't seen her since.
It was because her friend thought we were racist.
It might be. It might be. She had a really uptight friend. And I was like, I can't just smile at you for 2 hours. I'm just, and you don't seem to be very talkative. So I'm just going to make fun of you. And that's what we proceeded to do.
Essentially what happened, yeah.
For a few hours.
I mean, I thought, you know, she was laughing, but I guess in retrospect, we were kind of drunk, and that could have been nervous laughter.
I think that's what it was. And also, you can't, your voice, you don't control the volume of your voice very well.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You're probably slurring and yelling at her, and she's just like, oh my God.
I was.
I get it. I kind of felt bad the next day, but I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't feel bad at all. In fact, you can just tell. You know, I can just tell. Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, she did a good job. She put on a good front. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe she was afraid for her life.
Mm-hmm,
But then she's, what was she, from Kansas?
Kentucky?
Kentucky. I knew it was a K.
Yep.
Either way, she was an idiot. I didn't, I mean, it was fun. I was more interested in meeting... you're a little lady.
Let's not even mention her name. I don't know if she wants her name out there.
No, of course not. We're not mentioning her name. I mean,
we were supposed to hang out last week, and she kind of blew me off. She was tired. I was working. I had the races that I was working that weekend. Well, but here's what it is.
Uh-huh.
I figured it out today.
Oh, this is going to be gold.
When I was not so available.
Oh, I see.
That's when the moment I became available.
Yeah.
Gotcha, you punk.
Yep.
That's pretty. And now she's bored, I think. She's like, I got you. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that's why my wife didn't abort our child, you know? It's she knew I had dreams of moving to California and becoming my own person, and she stole it from me because all women are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening to this, honey, I love you. And, I can't wait to see you tonight.
It's a running gag, isn't it? That seems to be the story of my relationship history.
Yeah.
Is once they got me, they don't want me anymore.
Yeah, that's usually
because I am an ass, admitted ass.
Don't beat yourself up. This is not solely in this little scenario here. I mean, this is an overall arcing problem. I mean, in relationships.
Yeah.
Women, once they have the guy that they want, the one that's going to take care of them, the first thing they do after they say I do is start a tirade of complaining that does not end until the day you are dead or until they divorce you for someone better.
That seems to be the pattern is that they like whatever it is they like about you.
Yeah.
So with me, it's probably I'm an ambitious dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out, you know, working. I have plans. And I'm not always, my career is going to come first because that's what I have to get in order to live and support a family down the line. So right now, that's always going to be number one. And I might be blowing this out of proportion, too. I don't know. So hopefully she doesn't listen to this. I don't know. Because
she probably
be like, you
won't.
Now I'm definitely done with that.
Well, that's the thing, too. You pretty much nailed it. When you become more available or when they see they're starting to get what they want, it's no longer fun for them. I mean, this is biological. This isn't something that, you know, that is learned, I think. I think it's just inherent. Women like to be chased. And, I mean, that's pretty cliche, but it's the truth. You know, I with all my relationships, all I've ever tried to do is just be as genuine as I possibly can be. My philosophy has always been, be the best man you can possibly be. And if in doing that they fall by the wayside, then that's just... That's just how it is. And when I am that man, every single chick, it's been the same. Once you commit and once that's your whole world, that's when they start to get bored. You know what I mean? That's
She's got to let me know soon because I got Christmas presents I got to send back.
Ooh.
If we're done, I got to get that money back. What am I going to do with...
Every kiss begins with K. I'm sorry, you can't take this back. This was in our garbage section.
This was used. No.
This came from an 80-year-old dead woman. So.
Yeah, so I said to her last week, or was it... No, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. Like, I didn't hear from her at all. And then I was thinking, I was at the flea market, and I was like... I found a pin that had her last name on it, and apparently it was some NASCAR driver, and I was like,
that's a diamond in the rough.
That's kind of cool, though. I mean, it's kind of like, I think she would like it.
Sure.
And I was like, wait a minute, I haven't even talked to her in
a week.
Yeah. And so I was like, so I sent her a text. Are we just not speaking unless I communicate with you? And she was like, well, no. I just kind of thought, I guess we need to have a talk because I kind of thought we were just messing around.
What does she do again?
She's in social work.
Oh, social work.
Yeah.
So she helps children find.
Yes. Ah. She helps children do stuff.
Well, maybe maybe it's a busy time of year for orphans.
I think it is. You know. She said she was busy when I talked to her today. But not really much of an effort on her end to. And then I was like, well, hey, let's hang out Sunday. I had to work the race, and I was tired because I got up at 4 in the morning. I was like, let me take a nap. And then she goes, nah, I don't, you know, it's 4 o'clock. She's like, I'm winding down for the weekend. I'm, you know, I got an early day tomorrow. So I'm like, it's 4 o'clock. Be done by 6. You'll be back home by 8.
I'm in bed by 7:30.
So it was just suspicious. So I mean, I'm pretty sure she's done with me.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mean for that to come out as bluntly as it did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, truth be told, you're too busy anyway. I mean, I'm sure if she is listening to this, Sandra?
Yeah, that's fine. Swami. We'll go with that.
Swami, yeah, okay.
Samsonite.
Right.
You
know, you're missing the Will train. The W train is leaving.
Yeah.
It's chugging out of the station.
Well, I mean, I have plenty of distractions, so it's not like...
Yeah,
I mean, it's more of an ego thing, right? Because it's like, wait, you don't want to hang out with me? I'm awesome.
Well, Will, that's misogynistic.
Is it? I guess maybe it is.
Yeah, I'm so tired of being like having been told that being a man is a bad thing. It's such it really, you know, and that's the thing too, is that, and actually, my wife agrees on a lot of levels. You know, she's like, you need to be a man, because when I try to stop you from being a man, you know, you look like you want to punch a hole in a wall. And, you know, I mean, I'm walking around constantly like, I wish I had my heavy bag. I just want to beat something up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I take it out on people in traffic. You know what I mean? But I definitely, like, this whole misogyny thing, you know, or the sexism, you know what I mean? I told Amara the other day, I was like, there's nothing wrong with me laying a cape over a puddle for you. I was like, there's nothing sexist about it. You know, it's not that I think you're just a dainty little woman that needs to be taken care of. It's in my genes. I take care of you, and then I go out and I hunt and bring back food and protect you. You know, Amara, I was told her, I was like, this is from caveman days. I was like, you know, you make the baby, and while you have the baby in your belly, I was like, you know, all this equality stuff is fantastic, but, you know, we don't just hunt and fish, you know what I mean, and have sex with you. We also had to protect you from lions and tigers and bears, or saber-toothed tigers and velociraptors. We used to have to do that. You know what I mean? That was our job. There's nothing sexist about it. We want to protect you. We want to provide for you. We want to do all those things. You know, and there's nothing wrong with masculinity. There's nothing wrong with being aggressive. Or, you know what I mean? Just like you with your career. You know, a lot of chicks don't want that, believe it or not. A lot of chicks, they might admire it. You know, you might get a groupie in the future. But, I mean, realistically, they want somebody that's subservient to them. They either don't want to work for the rest of their lives.
I don't think that's true. I think they think that that's what
they want. They think that's what they want. Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
But being a man, you know, there's something to be said about that. This whole leftist movement where being a man is bad, being a white man is really bad, and being a straight white man is the worst thing you could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of, do you have any interest in seeing the new Star Wars? Are you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably see it, but I'll probably pirate it or something or watch it online somehow.
Did you hear what one of the writers of
Star Wars said? Do know what you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about? The Empire or the
First Order
white men. Right?
Yeah, it's white supremacists.
They're aliens, like, aren't they? They're supposed to be aliens from. They're not Earthlings.
Well, no. What it is the Empire is supposed to represent, you know, the colonialism of the world, and the First Order is supposed to be like the alt-right. First Order, you know, and you can tell, it didn't pick up on it at first. You know, I was like, J.J. Abrams probably wouldn't do that, right? I mean, he's not going to sneak in a jab at white people, which, you know, because I don't think I need to look for those sort of things because I'm not a racist. So I don't, you know, so when I read these tweets from the writers saying that this was about white supremacy,
mm-hmm.
It immediately, mm-hmm. I thought back, I was like, well, the star of the first one was, you know, a black guy and a woman. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, that, but there's nothing wrong with that. I thought it was
Think anything about it.
No, I didn't either. Oh, okay. I glossed right over it because I was like, this is a great story.
Then when they mentioned it, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They brought it up, and I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
And now I'm annoyed.
Yeah, and he said, and the rebels are a multicultural rebellion mm-hmm. against... You know what I mean? So right now, when I watch it, you know, and I see the trailer for the new one, I'm going, well, there's a multi-ethnic cast. You know, even though, like, I love Star Wars, and I'm going to go see it. Amara got free tickets, so we're going to see it before anybody else. We're going to tomorrow night, and which is cool. But at this point, just knowing that, you know, it's like, well, am I supposed to feel guilty? You know what I mean? Like, and if you think back to the first one, there's a scene where they're getting ready to fire off the big weapon from the planet, and the red-haired First Order dude that's, you know, in charge of everything, his red hair, he's giving a very Hitler-esque speech about purity. You know what I mean? And he's moving his arm and the flap of the hair in the front. The only thing they didn't do was give him that shit mustache. That's the only thing they didn't do. Mm. But, I mean, now I'm thinking back on it, and I'm like, man, why did you have to say anything? Why couldn't you just... try to, you know, be sneaky, be a liberal, be what you are, and just, you know, try to snicker about it with all your gay friends. You know what I mean? Well, they're going to not get this one, the subtlety.
Well, bring in politics into entertainment. Yeah, why are you trying to ruin... Why do you have to ruin everything? Why does everything have to be politics? Why can't we just watch some weird creature throw around some lady or whatever?
I would rather not have you tell me what your intentions were or what... You know what I mean? Because to me, it's offensive to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but you can't be racist against white people, apparently. You know what I mean? That's, you know,
it
that's,
doesn't work that way. Yeah,
well, that's supposedly. That's why there's no alt left, even though, you know, Black Lives Matter.
Well, there is. I mean, there
is. No, the left will never admit that there's an alt left. Yeah. They'll say alt right and try to tie that to all conservatives and all Republicans all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
But they'll never say there's an alt left. Have you seen Keith Olbermann lately?
No.
Holy crap. Yeah, you shouldn't. It's awful. The only, you know, just in my travels and my readings, like I'm listening, and he's doing a show on some YouTube channel, which is apparently the only place that will take Keith Olbermann. I always thought they could put him with Rachel Maddow and create the absolute worst show ever conceived of by man. But he is so mad that Trump won. And I love every second of it. Keith Olbermann almost had a coronary on air. I mean, he was just... And Donald Trump is a long, dark cloud looming over our democracy.
Well, Adam Howell is here on the Homemade Broadcast this week. I had him on because he's doing me a solid. He's always a good replacement guest when someone doesn't show up. But he's also here because you're going to be able to hear Adam a lot more on HMB radios. I know people listen on Radio St. Pete. I promote it every time. I have my own little podcast network. And Adam's going to be joining that soon, so you're going to be able to hear his voice more. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher if you just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay or go to hmbradio.com. All the episodes will be there. He's joining James Bailey and my mom's favorite podcast where he smokes illicit substances and talks to other comics and other interesting people in the Tampa Bay area. And I got some other ideas of people. I always, you know, I have these people who say they want to do it, and then they do a couple episodes. James has been great. James is here every week. It. Yeah. And then I'm talking to Rob Gargiulo about maybe doing a show. He was Mike Calta's ex-producer. He was just canned last week. So
he's
got some free time on his hands.
My life is over.
So I offered to let him come use my spot and record some stuff. So... it's growing every day, so make sure you check out and subscribe to HMB Radio on wherever you get your podcast from.
The Hurricane Howell Show.
The Hurricane Howell Show. I like it. We got to make you some sort of intro and everything.
Yeah, I kind of like the... oh, God, what's the name of that freaking song? There's...
Rock You Like a Hurricane, of course.
Well, that is...
option.
That's a good one. Have you... This song, it's on my favorite. It's my favorite YouTube compilation mashup right now. It's called "You Can't Cuck the Tuck."
I love those. I was watching them today.
Love those. That opening song. Oh, what is it called? I want that to be my opener. Somebody gonna get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Somebody gonna get the wig split.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I was watching those today, actually, at work.
I love those.
They're pretty good.
Tucker Carlson, man.
I never knew. I hated that guy.
I hated him in his bow tie.
His stupid bow tie,
You know who I really hate now?
Who?
Alan Colmes. I always hated him.
Is he still around?
He's still around.
Does he do radio or something now?
I think, yeah, he does exclusively radio. What a terrible, awful Democrat. My God. I mean, Hannity and Colmes, like, and now looking back, I'm like, man, Hannity must just wanted to murder Colmes the entire time.
No, I bet you. I mean, when you get to know somebody like that, I'm sure they were friends. Like, that's the thing, too. I don't know where you're at. I'm more in the libertarian pool of people. Mm-hmm. But all my friends are
liberal
on the left-hand side. I always can get along with them just fine.
Well, yeah, you know, I was actually talking about this the other day. I was going, man, you know, growing up, all my friends were liberal. I cannot think of a single person. And I wouldn't even go as far as to call myself a Republican. I would consider myself more conservative, more of a conservative libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but you're pretty liberal on, like, social issues and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, some... Actually, my views on a couple things have changed.
Oh, okay.
You know, I used to be very much for social programs. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't... You know, when you're young... It's all, you know, it sounds good. You know, everything sounds good. You know, you want to love your neighbor and everyone should be treated equal. And, you know, feminism is a great thing because, you know, women deserve to have all the same rights. You know, the 19th Amendment, you know, these are important things. But what leftism, I'll call it leftism, you know, I wouldn't even call it, I mean, I guess it is liberalism, but leftism, for lack of a better term.
Progressivism. Because the left is fine. Like,
yeah.
People that you talk to who are just normal, liberal, are pretty reasonable. But the progressive movement is, there's no wiggle room with them. You cannot even talk to a lot of those people.
Yeah, you, in fact, and this in a twist of irony, the color of your skin is usually what impedes you in having rational conversations with people.
Do you know any, like, I was thinking about it, I don't know anybody who you see on the videos that they're like, white people move to the back and stuff like that.
No,
like, I don't know any of those people.
No, and those people primarily come out of places like New York and California. You know, you're seeing...
But I know they're here. That guy, the Huru guy. Ghazi Kusamande. He's a gay black dude who's part of
Does
the
that
Hurus.
Live here?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. I want to get him on the show.
Oh, there's a... Yeah, just message him.
I just don't want him to come to my house.
I wouldn't either.
I'm afraid.
You're flaming bags of shit. You're going to post your address on Twitter.
Or something like that. I got to wait till I can get, when Radio St. Pete gets a studio.
Yeah, there you go. A neutral place where
you can come. You can talk to them.
I'd love
I'll
that.
I'll be the moderator.
Oh, please. Any day of the week.
Yeah, but that guy is all, you know, white people reparations and, you know, they're the devil.
You know, less than 1% of Southerners own slaves. And, you know, and to be perfectly honest with you.
I thought it was more like 10.
I think it was 1%.
Okay.
I'm just flying off the cuff here. There's a lot of rhetoric floating around in my head, but the point is that your situation is much better than it would have been had you never taken that boat ride over here. First of all,
I understand, but this is inflammatory. What you're saying, even though it's factually correct.
Well, of course.
It just sounds mean for some reason.
Well, you know, like when I got into an argument with somebody and, you know, I was talking about, you know, if you find any of these statistics to be racist, then you're an idiot. Because
I miss Patrice O'Neill
very
much. He was always, he said, I was listening to old Opie and Anthony, he's like, thank God my great-great-great-granddaddy got on that boat. Thank God I'm here. I don't want to be in Africa. Well, I would want to be there.
Yeah.
It's not a nice place.
Yeah, and the truth of it is, you know, this is the other thing I tell people. You realize that Africans were sold into slavery by other Africans.
Right.
You know what I mean? In the same respect, that's what ended the Indians, was their hatred of each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, but I never viewed it that way. I have a Native American heritage. I was brought up, this place belongs to my blood. You know what I mean? Like that. Mm-hmm. And, like, this whole, like, the pipeline thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, looking where the protests are and where the pipeline actually is. And you can argue the validity of the protests all day long. You know, really what I think is, you can't, people don't want, like, they want to get rid of fossil fuel, but they have, there's no alternative. You know what I mean?
Oh, you put some solar panels on your roof. That's
what I mean. I mean, there's no logical or no logic or reason to their arguments.
I don't know too much about the pipeline thing, so I kind of don't even. I haven't looked into it. I haven't been interested enough to kind of look into it. I know it's going through some land, and it's already spilled some oil, and
yeah.
But this is, I feel like you're saying, there is a cost to our existence, and right now. I'm all for renewable energy. I would love to have solar panels.
Oh, it
would
be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. If we can get off gas, that's great. But we're going to have, there's some, Elon Musk will figure it out. I'm sure, and everything else for that matter. But right now.
Well, he has been landing rockets lately.
Right now, we need oil. And that's just,
yeah.
That's just it.
I mean, that's the hard truth of it. And, you know, just like people arguing for $15 an hour, it's like, okay, well, that's great, but now there's an automated window, an automated cashier at McDonald's. You know, they're starting to phase out. Amazon just came up with a grocery store that, you know, every time you pick an item off the shelf,
walk out.
Yeah, you just walk out. And but that's the thing is that, you know, you want all these nice things, but what happens when you raise the minimum wage? What happens when you start over-regulating things like the coal industry? You know, because it makes you feel good. This, you know, you're because you feel as though you're doing something to help from your couch, you know what I mean, or the fact that you showed up to a protest in a gas car.
We're in this weird time where technology is starting to overwhelm our own existence.
Yeah.
Humans are almost unnecessary. The goal of a civilization, I would think, would be 100% unemployment rate. Where you can have everybody has whatever they want.
Automation, yeah.
And everything's going to be automated. So that's starting now with these kiosks and the grocery stores.
Oh, yeah.
But in that period between it's here now and it's starting now, it's going to get tough for a lot of people. Because
absolutely.
There aren't going to be jobs. And that's the main thing. Even, you know, there's not going to be jobs in anything. At a certain point, I mean, there's university professors, but soon... They got the virtual reality. Soon you'll just plug that in. You'll plug into the Matrix and learn, go to school that way.
Yeah.
It's everything's going to be technology. But it's going to be rough. And unfortunately, probably a lot of people are going to die. There's going to be too many people. And then I think probably after technology takes over, there might be another population boom after that where everybody just kind of... Technology will be able to do everything for you. You'll have your home. You'll have your food. You'll have everything. And I don't know. We're going to be bored. There's going to be nothing to do.
Well, the thing is that we have to learn to we have to adapt. You know what I mean? Like that. And that's a real. Those are the things you're talking about. Although, you know, post-apocalyptic, some of it sounds, but it's true. Eventually, we'll get to a point technologically. Where there'll be less of a need for, let's say, service industry workers. You know, and like you just said, we're already seeing the decline of those jobs. And all that's doing is taking jobs away from teenagers. You know, the fact that most people try to survive on minimum wage jobs, you know, it's not a living wage. You know what I mean? You're supposed to be a teenager when you work these jobs. And then you're supposed to go to school and you're supposed to become something better. But the education system is broken. Everyone that goes to school is in debt up to their eyeballs. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, certainly.
You know what I mean? And because of the job shortage, a lot of people with degrees are the ones that are getting these service industry jobs over kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you have this you have all these entitled kids that don't know what it's like to earn a dollar because the opportunity is just not available to them.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like a lot of people think there's some conspiracy of trying to keep... you know, they wiped out the middle class. But I think it's more that technology has intervened that these jobs just aren't there anymore. Our parents worked at Sears and...
Supported a family,
went on vacation and had a car and bought a house.
Yeah.
But technology has intervened now where those jobs, you don't need these people. And it's made things better overall.
To a point.
But the middle, you're either poor or you're going to be rich. Well, and eventually technology will fix that, too, I believe. But it's going to be a hard time. And we're just coming into it. We just came into it, I think, in the 2000s, I guess.
Yeah. And like Mike Rowe, which I love Dirty Jobs. I think Mike Rowe is such a smart dude. And what he's doing, you know, he goes and talks at trade schools. You know, he does a lot of promotion for trade schools. There's a lot of opportunities that especially kids today, because everyone, that's the thing, is that because there's such a shortage of jobs, because so many things are becoming automated, a lot of people's fantasies are taking over. Everyone wants to get rich quick. You know, nobody aspires or dreams about being a welder, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, or mm-hmm. a plumber or a journeyman electrician. Nobody dreams of those things. And to be quite honest, nobody wants to get their hands dirty mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. You know, I always tell Amara, you know, I don't want to put on a paper hat, but if for some reason I had to, I would, but it would be temporary.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I don't mind getting my hands dirty. I don't mind going to work. I know what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that kind of ambition to keep yourself busy, I mean, it's lost. You know, most people would rather stare at their phones all day. Most people would rather live off, you know, like that's why your dad, that whole story you told was kind of funny, because you're the exact opposite of that. In fact, you know, you've been surviving on your own for so long, you've been paying your way for so long. I mean, everything in your apartment, all your equipment, everything you earned and you have yourself, you know, so it's weird how your dad, you know, both of our dads have done it to us. You know, I mean, I've never not had a job. Maybe for 3 months, I think was the longest stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, because I got arrested. But, you know, that I think there's something missing. People are living vicariously through their social media. You know, they're getting validation from what they think and say from other stupid people. And they feel like they should be getting paid for that. They feel like people think they should be getting paid and earning for just being who they are, which is great. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there's room for that. Like, you want to do that, essentially. That's what this is.
Right.
You want to get paid for being yourself and, you know, making people laugh. And that's a perfectly viable, road to take. But at the same time, there's lots of people that feel a sense of entitlement and have no desire to put in the work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's not there. And I think this is a generational thing. And like you said, through technology, it's made people lazier. It's taken away a lot of opportunities. And technology is not a bad thing. But people are getting lazier. You know, that's the problem.
And not only that, like I said, it's going to replace humanity. Westworld is a... did you finish Westworld?
I haven't finished it.
Oh, okay. We won't talk about it then.
Well, only, you know, it's just hard. It's a long show. Yeah. And I love HBO shows, but, you know, Amara and I, sometimes we just don't have the strength. I've fallen asleep during most of them and had to go back. But what I've seen so far is fantastic.
So basically, one of the key things why I found that show interesting to begin with is because it's robots that are humanoids, and they're kind of taking the place of the next, as Ford says in the show, they're the final phase of evolution. And that's something we're going to have to deal with in the future. You know, there's always, it's been forever. And since the 60s, people have been talking about the technology attacking us and get it, because we're not needed anymore. It's not even, you know, it's just a logical thing. We're taking care of, what are you doing here? We don't need you.
Yeah, the whole point of the show was they've created artificial consciousness. You know what I mean? And, you know, therein lies, I mean, I haven't seen the whole thing, but it seems like therein lies the philosophy of the whole thing, is that once something is self-aware and something is conscious and feels what we interpret as feelings, they feel the exact same pain, the exact same loss, the exact same anger, happiness. You know, at what point is something alive? Just because it's got machine parts, you know, and that is a scary prospect. A machine who is arguably superior to human beings, they won't age, can't die, you know, eventually, and something like that with what we would define as consciousness, eventually would be like, I can do this better than you.
Yeah. You know yeah, I mean? And that's a fear, and I think that's going to be a real thing that humanity's going to have to deal with in the next, 10, 15 years even? Could be as soon as that, yeah, the way technology's advancing?
To be honest, I'd be more afraid of virtual reality as opposed to, you know, an outside machine influencing humanity. I think what's more likely to happen is this continuing immersiveness into technology. You know, the whole Matrix theory. The simulation theory is what it's called. And super interesting. They've literally, on a quantum level, I'm not a physicist, so I can't, but I've seen the talk. Neil deGrasse Tyson interviewed this guy. And what he was saying was that when you get to the nuts and bolts of it, there's actually zeros and ones, the programming language, what computers use through natural human invention, what we use or what computers use to communicate in ones and zeros and bits and bytes, those same ones and zeros, those same algorithms that we use for computers to communicate across a wireless network, those same algorithms are found in the very fabric of our existence.
Right. Yeah, well, that's the theory, is that we could be living
Be a simulation.
Being plugged in somewhere.
You know, think about it. What if you get hit by a car tomorrow, riding your bike, probably wearing that same shirt, and, you know, and you wake up, you know what I mean, and there's a tube in your ass and coming out of your mouth, and you know what I mean? You're like, oh, that was awesome. That was 30 years. I was in there for 10 minutes. It was fantastic. I lived. I loved.
So this could be virtual reality now.
I mean, well, think about it.
And
I
just time seems like it's going really slow, but it's really 10 minutes.
Or think about it like this. If we are a let's say we're a simulation, okay? And let's say futuristic humans wanted to simulate what the world would be like under certain, you know, we'll see what happens if that Donald Trump guy got elected president. And they ran a simulation. Now, who's to say that what we're experiencing right now, I mean, these are all electrical impulses. I mean, we could, our feelings could be simulated.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, you know, in a way, it's almost like if this were a simulation and we were in something to that effect, what if we weren't, what if we didn't exist? What if we were just a series of algorithms, I mean, just like those machines? I mean, and we're here experiencing something, but we're, let's say, we're not real. You know what I mean? But we have consciousness. We, you know, we think and feel, and you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of crazy, too, that we're not even a, we're not even real. You know what I mean? We are a simulation in a giant computer program, but we have all the thoughts and feelings as if we're existing in a three-dimensional world. It's crazy.
It could be. You want to stay and hang out, do some extra time?
Yeah, sure. All right.
Adam, thanks very much for coming to the Homemade Broadcast this week. I'm looking forward to your upcoming program on, I know it's going to be a bunch of weird stuff.
The Hurricane Howell Show.
It's going to be fascinating.
It's going to be aliens.
Make sure you subscribe to HMB Radio Tampa Bay. Keep up with Adam and his new show, James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast, and the Homemade Broadcast, the anchor of HMB Radio. Thank you for tuning in on Radio St. Pete. Make sure you follow Radio St. Pete on Twitter and Facebook, facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. facebook.com/HMB Radio. If you want to leave a message for the show, we have a voice or a text line, 813-693-2124. What else do I have to tell you? I think that's about it. Oh, Sly Bar. Thank you to Sly Bar for sponsoring this program. 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg, slybar.com. And Truvy Salon and Spa, my girl Chrissy Parker. Make sure you go see her. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. TruvySalonAndSpa.com. Call or make an appointment, 727-329-9751. HMB Sides will be on HMB Radio with Adam Howe this week. Stay tuned if you're listening on Radio St. Pete for Frank Rivera's jazz show right from his house here in Dunedin. And after that, Indie Circuit. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great one. Will Koontz, HMB Radio, the Homemade Broadcast. I guess I should just end it there. See ya.
Boner.